Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom. What's going on, man? It's your boy Yahusai, man. Back on the way, man. On blog, on Poetic Energy Network station, man. Another Sabbath. Yahuwah has blessed us too. We get a chance to come before Him and with Thanksgiving and talk about a couple things. That's what's going on. Hey, so we're not gonna waste no time. We're gonna get right into it. Today's gonna be a relatively short show. We're just going to give just a couple things and then we'll be out of here. But let's go ahead and pray. Father Yahuwah, in Yahusha Mashiach name, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another day. We thank you for waking us up today. We love you. And we thank you and we praise you and we pray that you would show us and we call to you to show us great and awesome mighty things we don't know. And we love you. We praise you. Yahusha Mashiach name. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we're back on the way. We don't have that much to go over this week. You know, we just want to touch on a couple things, and then next week, y'all willing, we'll get into a couple deeper things. But this is the update of what's going on in the world. We're at the brink, on the cuff of a lot of things. I mean, you know, over the couple of past weeks, we've been talking about the London Olympics going down in July. So, you know, this month is June, and you're talking about that going down next month, and we've been talking about that. We've been talking about the how, you know, last week we were talking about how that the very theme behind the mascots is the introduction of the New World Order, which was instated the Illuminati in 1776. We talked about last week about Benjamin Franklin and just all those cats that, you know, were behind even trying to bring in the wrath. I mean, not the wrath, but the reign of Hashitan, the adversary, and that's what their whole mission was. And so we've been talking about that. We've been talking about how all these things in all the world has been. Because what you got to understand is all the world is, and all the evil political people and all these things are getting into motion so the scriptures will be fulfilled. Like they're these things and these presidents and these people, they're almost pawns in Yahuwah's hands because the world will be fulfilled. So life cannot go on and exist like it has been forever. So these things that we're talking about, you know, that according to the scriptures, that will come to pass. So we got a couple things. You know, you got the Olympics coming up. We talked about this summer, in about 3 weeks, we've been talking about this since last year. We have the sanctions, the sanctions coming against Iran. Update you on that situation. We know that Iran, you know, a lot of nations have been talking about Iran is trying to obtain nuclear weapons, and so, you know, they, because of their program, you know, they have a nuclear program, which they said that it is harmless, and they're just trying to create nuclear isotopes and different things like that. And so, but other nations feel differently, and so you have the Israelis, you know, threatened to bomb Iran. And we had talks, they had talks in Moscow not too long ago. And so all these talks and all these negotiations have not really went anywhere. And they still feel the same way. So last update is Obama and the White House administration, they are still cranking up trying to crank up the power on Iran. And basically these sanctions, lamest terms, are trying to shut down nations that deal with Iran. Basically, it's kind of like if you owned a, let's say, electronic store. You know, they would penalize people for working with your store and sending shipments to your store. So if you can't send those shipments and then nobody can't buy, you're eventually going to go out of business. And so the White House administration is saying, hey, if we put these sanctions on Iran, because it's kind of like blackmail. They want to put these sanctions on Iran to basically, their end goal is to stop them. It's like since they don't want to regress on their nuclear program, in which people thinking they're trying to obtain nuclear weapons, then they are going to impose these sanctions in which people are not going to deal with them as far as oil. And we know Iran has oil. And so the United States doesn't even receive oil from Iran anymore, and a lot of nations have stopped dealing with them. And so they're trying to crash their economy. And we talked about it before, that Ahmadinejad and a lot of, which is the leader, one of the leaders of Iran, the Muslim Islamic community, they talked about before that, hey, if y'all go through with these sanctions, that it's gonna result in war. And a lot of political figures have, you know, even though I don't pretty much agree on a lot of his views, Ron Paul, you know, he stated a couple things about that these sanctions could possibly lead to what you would have a lot of people say World War III. And so, you know, we just have to wait to see. But these go into in effect June 28th in a couple of weeks. And so they're not really backing down on these laws. So you have that going on, and we just have to wait and see how this really pans out, because also, right after this, you have the European Union embargo, oil embargo, which is what deals with a lot of companies. And so I've been reading some articles, and they're talking about this is what a defense person that was for the Obama administration. This is what his logic was. Because they're predicting, and this is just a prediction, they're predicting that from this summer, from the after June 28th, with the sanctions going against Iran, against oil, and they're penalizing other nations that deal with Iran, what's going to happen is it's going to be an increase in oil. Because, you know, you're cutting one of the, I think Iran is one of the top 10 producers in oil. Of course, you have Saudi Arabia and everything like that. But what's happening is this defense person said that it's going to increase the barrels of oil, which is going to increase the cost of oil at the pump. And unlike never before, because you see right now it's around a couple $4, you know, around this area, and a lot of areas is very high, and they're saying that for this time, it's been the highest it's ever been. But their logic, the U.S. logic, is they would rather for the barrels of oil to increase and for it to be higher at the pump than, this is what they're saying, this is actually what they're quoting saying, than Iran obtaining nuclear weapons. So they're trying to put the pressure on them to crash their bank in order for them to surrender their program, in which a lot of people are saying they're trying to create something. And so, but, you know, of course, Iran has denied these allegations. So this is what you have going on. You have these tensions still building over there. They're not really backing down on what they said, because remember we talked about before that they said it was a law that said they could practice peaceful programs dealing with you know, nuclear reactors and all those things, and we don't want to get to logistics of that. But that's what they have been doing. And so you have these things coming up real quick, you know, so we'll have to wait and see how these things are all going to unfold, because they have been quoting and saying, and the Democrats have been quoting and saying that, hey, if these things go down, and we're going to take an action of war, because this is, you know, to them, it's almost unconstitutional to what has been laid forth by the United Nations. And what's very interesting, don't want to lose you, but what's very interesting, I was reading an article this morning, is Obama is very deceptive, and there is 10 European nations somehow that have coincided, and they have Japan on the outside, but it's the article said, not illusion or you know or trying to make these things up, but the article was talking about 10 European nations who have coincided in some kind of cohesiveness far as a global thought, a global pattern. And this is very interesting because once you think about this, and the article said it, I think it was either, I'm sorry, I can't remember the source, it was either The Guardian or one of these articles, but it was talking about the 10 nations that are kind of are almost in the cohesive, and this is reported in more than one news agency about these 10 nations, and so it was very interesting in reading this because you know if you read Revelation 17, it talks about the cohesion of these 10 horns, which are 10 kingdoms, which are, in fact, 10 nations. So it talks about, you know, Revelation 17, verse 12, it says, "And the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 sovereigns who have not yet received their reign, but received their authority as the reign with the beast for 1 hour. They have one mind that they shall give their power and authority to the beast. They shall fight with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them." See, and then it goes on, that's very interesting, though, is it talks about these ten horns, which are connected to the European Union and United Nations, and it stated them in multiple articles. So it's we're getting to see the revelations beginning to unfold, even in the media. So you can catch little clues that show you, hey, that Yahuwah's word is real, that these 10 nations are coinciding together with one mind thought, because this is what the scripture just said. It said that they have one mind, and so these 10 nations have one mind, even against Iran, even against what the plan is put forth by the quote-unquote elite, that they have one mind. And this is an article I read this morning that came out a couple of days ago, you know. So Yahuwah's word is real, and that these nations are beginning to take form. And what you're going to have, what you're going to see, is those 10 nations connecting with the beast, which is Babylon and Rome. So you have with United States and Rome and the Pope. And you have these nations coinciding together to begin to usher in what was laid forth by, Benjamin Franklin and all those people, 1776, the Illuminati, and is to usher in the so-called reign of, Hashatan, till he is destroyed, and till the desolator is destroyed. And this rolls right into the second topic so beautifully, because you have these nations, these 10 nations coinciding together, and there's so many pieces of the puzzle that you can sometimes get confused, but if you just step back and see it, I just read another article, and this is very interesting too, because that's what I'm telling you, this summer, a lot of things are going down. You have the sanctions going down end of June, you have the European embargo with the oil, then you have the Olympics. Now, I'm still looking for sources to actually confirm this, but an article that came out and said that this is a news flash right here, that Benjamin Netanyahu, now, news comes to the West very late, and things leak very late, so we come upon it, but they said on February 20th, the prime minister said to Arab leaders that he will take control of half of the Temple Mount and later this year to build the third temple right beside the Dome of the Rock. Once again, Benjamin Netanyahu, this is unofficial sources, and this is some sources that I have, but this word has, quote-unquote, has been leaked, that on February 20th, the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, told Arab leaders that he would take control of half of the Temple Mount later this year to build the third temple. Now, this is very interesting because a while ago on this show, on the way, Poetic Energy Network station, we talked about, and if this word is, you know, if this thing, this information that was leaked to be correct, that he will, we talked about that there was actually some sources that were linked to the Temple Institute, and once again, we'll break the Temple Institute down to you. The Temple Institute is the body of Jewish Ashkenazi synagogue of Satan people who have been behind, number one, instating the 70-man Sanhedrin. There are the people who have been training these priests in the fake temple and in the model temple, you know, training the so-called priests, I should say. As far as the temple service, they've been training them. These are the people behind, you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago that they've been doing sacrifices already, that they was on sacrifices on the Pesach. That these are the people behind this. These are the people behind this and behind, because you got to understand that, yes, you have the United Nations, you have the 10 European nations with the 10 horns, you have Rome, but what you got to understand is they will all give their power unto the beast. They will all give their power unto the son of perdition. They will all give their power unto the son of perdition, in which the son of perdition goal is to rule the world out of Jerusalem. Because you got to remember, Yahuwah originally chose Jerusalem for his name to dwell, for his presence to dwell. And so what we read, just like we read in Yeshayahu 14, is that Hillel, a lot of people call Lucifer, wants to be like, which we read, he wants to be just like Yahusha. So that is the goal, is to try to rule the world, in which, you know, Shaul talks about that he will sit in the temple proclaiming himself to be El, you know. So this is very interesting, man. This word that has been leaked is very correct, because we talked about it a couple months ago on the show, that sources that leaked from the Temple Institute said that there are actually measurements and that the third temple could sit beside the Dome of the Rock, and it would be a good fit, because the measurements would fit right there, and it would be a way for there to be peace between the Arab nation and the Ashkenazi Jews, in which we know that that's connected right there to Daniel 9:27, in which for 1 week, he, being the son of perdition, will come and confirm a covenant, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the false covenant, you know, saying that from the great river Euphrates to the other place that they own that land, which is false. Okay, so you have this going on. This is very interesting, man. And we're going to continue to keep you abreast about this subject, man, because this is very important. If later this year they actually begin and they offer this, and this Daniel 9:27 is confirmed, and they begin to construct the third temple right beside the Dome of the Rock, and as we talked about, and it's so wild. We talked about it a couple months ago. that there's actually room, and this source was leaked from the Temple Institute. The people who will be responsible for building the third temple is that right beside the Dome of the Rock, you can build the third temple. And so that would make sense into the whole plan of the Son of Perdition, because what they're trying to do is trying to get the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians all together. And so they don't want to really want to upset another group. They don't really, and I know it looks like that. You have the Arabs against the Israelis, and it looks like, you know, they're at really warring with each other. But the end result is Revelation 17, where it says that they have one mind to give their power unto the beast. So it may look like they're against each other, but the end result is the New World Order, in which they all band together for one cause under the authority of the Son of Perdition. So that word had just leaked, in which we talked about that. We're going to keep you up to date on that, because that right there, you're talking about when the clock starts, Daniel 9:27, we're in for a show in a time that has never been upon the world and never shall be again. And so that was leaked, and I was not expecting to find that, but because they said that right after this was announced in February, and like I said, sources in U.S. media will not pick up on these things. These are things that you have to diligently seek out to find these news stories, because the U.S. media will not. They only pick stories that they want to be known, and they want to confuse people so people are not aware of the things that are happening in the earth. You know, people are really concerned about all these other things, but they're not concerned about what's really happening, the real issues. And so they said that right after this was announced, that there were numerous reports of rioting from the Arab nations, because they don't want the third temple built beside the Dome of the Rock. But then I guarantee you that this is going to be a ploy, because when we talk about the Vatican agenda, this is going to be a ploy for, number one, the Pope, who is the leader of the whore, Babylon, and the Son of Perdition, possibly Maitreya, to band together and try to promote peace together. So we're going to keep you up to date with that. And And so you're still listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm your host, Side, and we're still on the way. Hey, like I said before, we're not going to be here that long. We just want to go to a couple of verses. That's what you got going on in the news, and we're going to keep you up to date next week, yeah, willing, about what's going on. But right now, we just want to get into a couple of scriptures and just get into a couple of scriptures. So if you have your scriptures, like to go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We want to talk about the fruit of the spirit of the Ruach, which is something that we got to focus on to grow. I was thinking about it and talking about it with the wife last night, that the fruit, how we think about, because Yahuwah always use in the word Yahusha, he always used, and then when Yahusha was here and he spoke words of life, he always spoke in parables, and he always used things like agriculture and fruit for us to cognitively get what he's trying to say. And so when he talks about the fruit, when the Ruach speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, you think about fruit, and you think about fruit has seasons and it grows until maturity. And so fruit grows into the state of maturity. So we got to think about fruit as that same thing, that we got to think about the fruits of the Spirit as the same thing, in which we have been entrusted with the Ruach HaKodesh, in which these fruits have to blossom, and we have to nurture these fruits, because you could have an apple tree, for instance, but the apple tree needs certain things to be nurtured in order to produce fruit. You know, it needs sunlight, it needs rain, it needs the nourishment from the soil, it needs, some bugs to, to eat different things off of it and to nurture it. And we know that's the same thing with farming. Whatever fruit you're trying to grow, you need certain elements to happen. And so that's the same thing with the fruits of the Spirit. We need certain elements, because these things do not automatically, contrary to, Christian doctrine, is you don't automatically just receive the fruits of the Spirit and then you just have it all. That's not the case. You have to, these fruits have to be grown, they have to be nurtured, they have to have certain elements in order to produce fruit. And we're going to read in a minute that it's Yahushua's will for us to bear fruit. And what fruit are you talking about? He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So we want to read Galatians 5 and 22. It says, but the fruit of the Ruach, or Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustworthiness, gentleness, self-control. Each such there is no Torah. Okay, so we want to break these down, each one of these. Love, which is, there's two types of love. You have the love of Ahav, and you have Hasad. And Ahab is the love that we can have for each other, that humans can have for each other, which is the compassion, the love and obedience for one another, and the love we also have towards Yahuwah, in his son Yahushua, in which we practice certain things, we practice the Torah, and we have this love towards him, this kind. But the other love, which is given from Yahuwah to us, in which we can try to mimic, but it's very hard, is the Hasad love, which is the unconditional love, in which, there are some things that we have done in the past, in which we have, Yahuwah talks about in his word, in which he said that Yisrael as a nation, they have greatly sinned against him. And we think about the things that we have done, in which we have blasphemed his name, we have did so many things against his face, breaking his commandments, in which we have been destroyed, and he had compassion and love upon us, in which it's almost, which they sometimes translated that word in the Greek as agape, but it's that strong, intense love that he has for us. It's the strong. It's hard to define it. It's really hard to define it. But how you can define it is just look at examples. Look at examples. This is an example of Hasad love and the love that we should have for each other, because Yehukanai says, John, there is no greater love that a man has than this, that he lay down his life for his brothers. Okay? So this is the love we're talking about that we should have, that doesn't automatically just be there. This love just is not automatic. I mean, this is the love we're talking about. We're talking about the love that is in the maturity state, in the maturity and blossom state of this fruit. We're talking about that this love is the love that Husha had for his wife. Husha had for his wife, in which Yahuwah told Husha to marry a certain woman, in which he continued to do things, and she was the model of, you know, Yisrael, in which he continued, and Yahuwah continued to tell him to love, you know, to continue to love. And you look at a lot of examples of how Yahuwah loves Yisrael, how he talks about Yisrael, how he rebukes Yisrael, but then he says, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to forgive all your sins and remember them no more. That's the compassion of love in which you have, in which the love, like what Yahusha said. He said if a man had 100 sheep and he lost one, that he would leave the 99 to go find the one sheep. One sheep. I mean, that's passionate love, that you would lay down your life for one person. You would leave the 99 and go find just the one. It's the same love in which, you remember the parable of the two sons, you know, the man had two sons, and one son got the inheritance. He went out and spent it in lavishness, and then he remembered his father, you know, he said, you know, he remembered that his father's servants was living better than him, and he came back, and his father had compassion on him. And his father said, hey, put a ring on him, put a robe on him, hey, let's have a feast. And he was excited because his son was lost, but now he was found. And he forgave him, and he just loved him. And that's the kind of love that we should have for one another. We should have for one another the love that Yahuwah has, because his anger lasts for just a moment, but his compassion is for a lifetime, and his mercy is everlasting. And so that's the love and the compassion for the love that we should have, because in this state that which this love is blossomed, we're talking about that this love has no fear. This love has no fear. This love has, you know, compassion, in which, I mean, that's all we can model it as. This love we have to love, like, because in our state, in our mind, we do not have, just like I was talking just before, is the fruits of the Spirit need certain things to nurture it in order for it to blossom. We in our natural state do not have the power to love like Yahuwah loves, like Yahuwah loves and how we are supposed to love. That's what I'm saying. I said again, we in our natural state, if we actually try to love people in which we believe that what love is, we will fall all the time. The only way this fruit can be blossomed, in which we can love like Yahuwah commands us to love, is to look through his eyes and look how he loved and mirror how he loved. Remember, the disciples came to Yahuwah and said, hey, if your brother sins against you seven times, you know, and came back and said, forgive him. He said, you forgive him every time. And he said, he who has forgiven much, you know, love much. And so it's when you think about the nature of Yahuwah and how he deals with people and how he loves people, how he loved David, how he set David on high, and David had sinned against his face, and he still had compassion on him because he had humbled himself. And then we talk about Yahusha, who had did no wrong, had did no unrighteousness, and who took the burden and the sins of many and carry upon his back and forgive him. When he was on the stake, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then you're talking about this love in the maturity state. This is the love in the maturity state, in which you're talking about Stephen, who was getting stoned to death for a crime he did not commit, asked that that it wouldn't be impeded upon them, that Yahuwah would forgive them, in which they did. This is the same love that Moshe went against the mountain after they had sinned with the golden calf, and he asked them to blot him out of his book. I mean, this is the love when you stand in the gap and you have selfishness, and you move yourself out of the equation. And so this is the love at the maturity state, in which you are blameless and there is none impeding. This is the love that we can love, because I know, for instance, for myself, I you cannot love in your own power. It takes the power of the Ruach HaKodesh to love like Yahuwah said. You cannot love in your own power like we're supposed to. We cannot love our neighbor on our own accord. If you try to love your neighbor because one day at work or somewhere out, your neighbor will do something against you. You know, they'll curse you out. They'll cut you off when you're driving. They'll do something. And in your flesh, if you try to love like you believe, you know, it should be loved, you will fail all the time. But when we think like Yahuwah thinks what love is, we will walk in that. So this is the thing that has to be nurtured. We have to continue to read the word. We have to continue to practice this love. Practice this love that where there are situations in which we can love and like Yahusha love, that we take those opportunities. And so the next fruit of the Spirit is joy. And we're talking about joy that's unconditional joy, in which we can only receive from the Ruach HaKodesh. Because there are things that in our life can make us joyous, and things that we can be excited about. But really, what we have to think is we have to think about things that are unseen, because these things are eternal and these things won't pass away. Because this kind of joy is kind of different from the regular joy. See, regular joy, you have joy for a moment and then it depletes and then you can be emotional. You know, this joy is really not emotional. You know, this joy is not emotional. This joy is the joy of having everlasting life, to having a time where you know, like, say, hey, even if I suffer in this life, I know that something is greater than the next life. And that's the motivation for every day to live life to the fullest, to smile, to have joy, and to have peace, is because you hang your expectations on something that cannot be taken away, something that cannot be, you know, something that is not emotional. Because any day of the moment, you know that, hey, you have eternal life. Just like when Yahusha sent the 70 disciples away and they came back and they were rejoicing because the spirits were subject to them, he said, hey, rejoice. He said, hey, because they were almost boasting, and hey, the spirits are subject to us in your name. And he said, hey, lo, I have seen Hasatan fall from the sky like lightning. He's seen greater things than what they seen. You know, he was just checking them and saying, hey, do not rejoice at that, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. So that's the thing that do you understand that, hey, your name, you confess the name of Yahusha, you confess his father's name, and you keep the commandments, that you know that your name was written in the Lamb Book of Life even before the foundations of the world. That is something to rejoice about every day. So that is where we hang our joy upon, and knowing that Yahusha has redeemed us from this world in order to enter into life, to have our names written into the Lamb Book of Life. So that right there, that joy right there, is what you hang your hats on, which cannot be taken away, cannot be emotional. And this is very hard to do. And in the blossom state, we will continue to keep our minds steadfast upon our eternal hope. But sometimes, in order for this fruit to blossom, and sometimes it's hard because you think about, hey, well, I'm living right now, I'm living in this life, you know, and things are hard right now, and so it's hard to get your mind upon that hope, in which cannot be taken away, cannot be emotional, cannot go up and down, because we have no question about eternal life. You know, Yahusha said, hey, you love me, you keep my commandments, it's a given. You know, so we have no hope. That can't be buried. But we have to get to that maturity state in which that joy, which our joy is no longer emotional. It's no longer situational. It's everlasting. So that's fruit and maturity right there. And we talk about peace. We talk about shalom. And this is another one in which all these fruits right here, because you think about the Ruach, he is given to us as something that's everlasting. And all these fruits are just like that. It was just what Joseph said. He said, come unto me, all those who are burdened and laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He will give us peace. He will give us shalom. And that's that real shalom when we think about it. We think about his name. We meditate upon his greatness. And this peace right here, the fruit of the spirit of the peace, shalom, in its maturity state, because we sometimes we'll have glimpses of it, and just like when fruit is growing, you're like, oh, that's going to be, you know, you'll see it growing into an apple, but it's not an apple yet. You'll see it growing into a banana, but it's a baby banana, and it hasn't, so you get glimpses and flashes of what it's like to have that kind of peace until it's mature. But this peace and maturity is not the peace in which is disrupted by bad situations. It's not erupted by, you know, anything that is circumstantial around you. It's because it's a condition of your heart. So you could be just imagine when Yahushua was going through all that he went through, all this being accused, all this being on the state, he had peace in his heart. And so it's amazing that how we can get to that state. That's the goal, is to get to that state in which we have peace and shalom, and we're ceasing from striving because we know Yahuwah's on the throne, and he protects us, he guards us. We know, if we lose our job, we have peace, you know, because we know Yahuwah will take care of us. Hey, we lose this, we lose everything we have peace, or you know, so it's nothing that could, just like Hadaou was saying in the Psalms, that, you know, he wouldn't be shaken. And that's how our peace should be, that we should not be shaken in its maturity state. So we talk about patience. Patience is another one. Patience is a hard one because this fruit is very hard to blossom. You know, this fruit grows, and this is like one of the fruit that grows very slow. This fruit grows very slow, and because it takes a lot to produce this fruit. It takes a lot of different elements to obtain patience. And this patience, it's no really definition, but the only really definition you could look at is look at the patience Yahuwah has for his people. I mean, if you think about the patience Yahuwah has for his people and how man, because in our own nature, we cannot be patient like Yahuwah desires us to be patient. That's what he said. He said, be perfect for he is perfect. So we are made in the image of Yahushua. We are supposed to walk like Yahushua. And you look at the greatness of the patience Yahushua had and Yahuwah had for his people. I mean, you're talking about, it's been 2,000 years since Yahushua had walked this earth, and he has still been having patience for his people, longing for his people to come back to him, call upon his name, to you know, forget these ways of evil, and to call upon his name. And this is the patience Yahuwah has for his people. I mean, just like we were talking about that example with Yahushua and his wife, the patience when they were in the wilderness, even though he destroyed most of them in the wilderness, he still had patience for them and brought Yahushua and Caleb into the land. And you're talking about the patience. The patience of Yahuwah. And that's the aspect in which when this is a mature state, that we have patience like Yahuwah has patience. And to where it's you have to really take your mind off of thoughts and feelings, because every one of these fruits go against human nature. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustworthiness, gentleness, self-control. Every single of these fruits go against our very human nature. As we were born as a baby, they go against those things. So the thing is that nature going against the spirit, going against what the spirit wants to grow. And so you have these harsh elements. Sometimes these fruits have to be grown in winter, which is almost impossible. And some of these fruits have to be grown in conditions of which are unfavorable. And it goes back and forth, but in order for us to mature and to have these fruits on this tree, is we have to stay in the Ruach HaKodesh and walk not in the flesh. So we talk about kindness, goodness, trustworthiness, gentleness, self-control, and we're talking about just the aspects of Yahusha had when he walked upon earth, the gentleness, the patience, the self-control. You know, I mean, you look at the self-control of Yahusha when he in his final days, when he's accused, when he's stoned, he's flogged, and he's flogged, and it's, and you talk about the self-control. How many of us can say that if we were in Stephen's shoes, that we would have self-control not to even defend ourselves with our words? They never even defend themselves with their words. I mean, how many people could say that if you were accused, if they came to your house and say, hey, you've been selling drugs for 5 years and we've been watching you, and you've got all this evidence against you, how, you know, would you have the self-control to not even defend yourself? You know, I mean, just situations. I mean, because you look at that, and that's exactly what Yahusha went through. He didn't commit no unrighteousness, but yet they charged him with a crime. Stephen didn't commit no unrighteousness, yet he didn't defend himself with the word. I mean, this is self-control, because these are things that we have to learn, because these things will be tested in the future, in which people will deliver us up, you know, and deliver people up to bear testimony or to say, hey, you did this, but you know you haven't did these things. And this is the self-control in its blossoming state. And so these things that we have to practice when we have a situation arises where we can love, or a situation can arise when we, you know, when we have joy. And these glimpses of these fruits will begin to show until they blossom. And that's what Shaul said. He said, I know, he said, you know, the verse that says, he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So these fruits that have been started, these fruits that have been growing, you know, symbolically, like these apples and oranges that have started growing, that they will come into maturity into where they will be the fruits that he desired to be. But we're going to read one more thing, and then we're going to be out of here. Let's go to Yehukanah 15. John 15, chapter 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it bears no more fruit. So I wouldn't pause right there. So this is important, because we just talked about the fruits of the Spirit. So we're talking about if we don't bear those nine fruits, if we don't bear those nine fruits, and we're upon the branch, he will take us away. So if we don't continue, if the tree becomes stagnant and we don't love, we don't have joy, we don't have peace, we don't have gentleness, we don't have self-control, we don't have peace, sooner or later, he has patience with us, but sooner or later, he will have to prune the tree. Because one thing about a tree and one thing about limbs and different things, if we are a collective group, things become cancerous. So it has to be pruned. It has to be pruned. It has to be picked, you know, because, and the other aspect is, to every tree that bears fruit, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. So you usually think about an apple tree. An apple tree bears apples. You have to pick the apples so it can start back over and bear more apples. You know what I'm saying? So it's situations in our life where, hey, you might have had love until a certain point. You might have known how to love until a certain point. And Yahuwah picks that and say, okay, he picks that and say, okay, now I'm going to show you another aspect of loving. to where it's even greater way to love, and to which you're like, okay, or for instance, you have patience on a certain level. You have patience on a certain level, and you like, okay, I'm comfortable at this level, and Yahuwah picks those fruits. Say, okay, you've learned how to be patient at this level, but I'm going to show you. He'll put you in a situation to where you have to have greater patience. So you're like, man, I don't know if I can have this type of patience, and he'll put you in that level so you can produce more fruit. And so that's that example. It says you are, verse 3, it says, you are already cleansed because the word which I have spoken to you. Stay in me and I stay in you, as the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine. So neither you unless you stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Because without me, you are not able to do nothing. If anyone does not stay in me, and he is thrown away as a branch, and dries up, and they gather and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you stay in me and my words stay in you, you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. And this, my Father, is esteemed, that you bear much fruit, so that you are my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Stay in my love. If you guard my commands, you shall stay in my love, even as I have guarded my Father's commands and stayed in his love. These words I have spoken to you so that my joy might be in you, so that your joy might be complete. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. See, that's what we're just talking about, is the only way we can love, because we love on our own accord and we love what we believe love is, or what we have been taught love, we will fall short. But we have to love. When we think about love, somebody asks you, how do you love somebody? Your answer is, you love them like Yahusha loved us. That is the answer how to love. And how did Yahusha love us? He kept his Father's command, so we keep his command. That's the answer of love. We don't make our own conclusion about what love is. Look, his love died for a person who was undeserving. So, and this is what we want to leave you with. No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. So, hey man, I hope you enjoyed yourself, man. I hope the word went forth. You listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai. Man, I hope this group continues to grow. We're going to be out of here, man, in just a couple seconds. But, hey, man, Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. It's been awesome chilling with you. Shabbat shalom to you today. Hope you get some rest. And may Yahuwah's face shine upon you and may he keep you. And we will, y'all willing, see you next week. We out of here. Shabbat shalom.